Okay. How blessed are those who are forgiven? How blessed are those who are forgiven? On the way in here, you may have noticed that there's some lovely trees that are kind of in blossom. Did anyone get wet from those trees on the way through? I did. I had to push my way past and there was lots of water dripping off the trees because it had just been raining. That's a reminder of baptism and how blessed it is to be forgiven. But how can you be sure? How do you really know that you're forgiven? How can you really be sure that God loves you and that He has saved you? If you're anything like me, I know that my feelings and even my thoughts are not a very good indicator of the way that things really are. Sometimes I'm not incredibly happy about being a child of God. Sometimes I feel like God could not possibly forgive me, right? I've done something again and again, and it's like the accusing voice of the devil goes, "See, you did it again. God surely can't forgive you this time." Anyone else experience something like that from time to time? A few people? Oh, good. I'm not the only one. So how can you be sure? Well, Martin Luther, who was part of the Reformation and part of starting the Lutheran Church, and the people who worked with him, who discovered the depth and the riches of God's grace, said that there are four things that help us to be sure that we are forgiven and to know God's love for us. That we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and our authority for knowing that is Scripture alone. Now let's look really quickly at each of those things. By grace alone, the best illustration that I've ever found of what grace means is this. An arrow. A big arrow pointing downwards. What does that mean? It means God always comes down. We never have to work our way up to God to make ourselves pleasing to Him or to be forgiven. God always comes down. God comes down primarily in Jesus to show His love to the world, but God also comes down in the Word and the water, in bread and wine, and in the company of God's people. We can never do anything to turn that arrow up the other way, to make our way up to God. Despite, was it Led Zeppelin singing Stairway to Heaven? Guys, help me out here. Did I get that right? Yep. We don't have to climb a stairway to heaven or buy a stairway to heaven because God has come down to us and keeps coming down to us. That is grace, my friends, God's initiative. He is the one who does these things through faith alone. Now, again, there's a temptation sometimes to think that faith means something that we do, you know, some kind of state of mind or thought pattern that we offer to God in exchange for God's forgiveness for us. But that's exactly wrong. Faith is like this. Faith is a set of empty hands that simply receive. So that's why I've got the hands as the symbol of faith alone there. Faith is simply receiving the gift that God offers to us through Jesus. It's not some kind of state of mind or holiness or perfect thinking that we offer to God for our own salvation. In Christ alone, well, this one's fairly obvious. What do you think the symbol for this one's going to be? A cross, of course. Okay, so we sing it, we say it. It's because of Jesus that we are saved, and because of Him that we can be absolutely certain that God loves and forgives us. And our authority is Scripture alone. We read God's Word because in it we meet with Jesus, and in it we are assured of God's love for us. Now, today, I want to focus in on this, by grace alone, because Martin Luther and the Reformers also found something very joyful. They said, God comes to us in concrete ways. You know, we are bodily people. We actually inhabit these bodies. We're not just kind of free-floating spirits. And so God gives us physical things that in which He wraps up His love and His grace and His forgiveness and gives them to us. So these things are like the wrapping on a Christmas present They are the thing by which God presents his love and grace to us. And they are, the Reformers called them, the means of grace, the physical things that God uses to get his good gifts to us. Four things. The Word. God comes to us in the Word. We encounter Jesus in the Bible and in the living Word that the Holy Spirit makes alive for us. Not going to concentrate a great deal on that one today. The water, the sacrament of baptism. And we are going to have a really good look into that because I love baptism. Because if you are ever worried about whether God forgives you or whether, you know, the devil is poking his accusing finger at you, you can say, you know what? I'm baptized. And right there, God promised and delivered to me his grace and forgiveness. The bread and wine. Holy Communion. Today, a number of our young people will be receiving Holy Communion for the first time, which is a very exciting time for them and a very important step in their following of Jesus in daily life. And the Reformers also said that God's grace comes to us through people, the people of God around us who remind us when we forget that God loves us and forgives us, and who encourage us to live God's way. I'm not going to focus a great deal on that one either. Now, as I've been looking at preparing some of our children and adults for baptism, which is very exciting, there's a book by a man called Dan Erlander, and it's got some wonderful illustrations of baptism, and I'm going to have a really quick look at some of them. So baptism is being clothed in a new robe. It's being made righteous, like you put on a white robe, you put on Jesus with your baptism. Baptism is like a passage on Noah's ark, saved from the waters of chaos and death. So like a big boat ride. Adoption into a new family, becoming a son or daughter of God. Royalty. Now, I love this one, right? Who here thinks that I always get on well with my children? No one, that's about right. Most of the time I get on well with my children. Some of the time my children don't like being my children. Some of the time they want to run away. Well, actually, they've kind of got over that now because they've worked out that it costs a lot more to live outside of home. But they're not always particularly happy with the way that I'm a father or a parent. And sometimes they maybe would wish that they weren't. But you know what? It doesn't change the fact of their identity as my children. And in fact, even if they did run away from home, get their own flat, find out how much it costs to rent and how you have to do your own dishes and all that stuff, they'd still be my children. And we are still God's children, even when we're rebelling against God, even when we turn away from him. Enlightenment or illumination, so God gives his light to us. God grafts us into Christ. Going through these pretty quickly. Dying with Christ and rising with him. So you know what? Your old sinful person has died with Jesus in the waters of baptism. That's what Romans says. Dead and alive again. You don't have to live that way anymore because that person is gone. New birth, a change so complete that it's like being born anew or born from above. A cleansing bath, the washing away of sin, and being sealed by the Holy Spirit. We won't go with all the possible seal jokes there, but a transfer from an old ownership to a new ownership, an old realm to a new realm. So with all that being said, how can you be sure that you are forgiven? Remember your baptism. Remember all those good gifts that God wraps up in this water and in his word and delivers to you at your baptism. And Martin Luther, who used to suffer from terrible depression and also from the attacks of the devil, or what he perceived as the attacks of the devil, when he was coming under terrible accusation, he would say, "But I am baptized, you know, and therefore I'm a child of God, so you can't get me, so nick off, old Nick." Bread and wine, very ordinary, everyday stuff. Food, Jesus sharing a meal with us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And, you know, recently our church has said that we should be giving, preparing children for communion from as early as possible. And I think that's a wonderful thing because, you know, we all need nourishment for our journey of walking with Jesus. We all need to be fed. And here in communion through bread and wine, Jesus gives us himself. He gives us a heart transplant. He gives us a life transplant so that his life is living in us. His blood is flowing through our veins. And so I'm very joyful today that we have seven young people who are receiving communion for the first time because this will really help them on their journey with God. So how can you be sure that God forgives you? You can be sure because God always comes down. Because God comes down in the water, he comes down in the word, he comes down in the bread and wine, and he comes down in the community of his people, and he says to you and assures you, my promise is with you. You are forgiven. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven. And you can be absolutely sure of that because of the ways that God wraps it up and delivers his promise to you. And that's good news. Amen.